second open session. Before we do the pledge, though, I'd like to ask any veterans to stand up so we could recognize them. Are there any veterans here tonight? Yeah, thank you so much for your service. Ms. Marco, would you please lead us in the pledge? Okay, our student representative to the board is not here tonight, so we'll move right into our recognitions. I'd like to ask the board to go down front, please.
At this time, I'd like to invite Principal Doug Eshman from Covalot Elementary School to come and make the next three presentations.
Good evening, everybody. Boy, you guys are a quiet bunch out there. Our classified employee, she was sick today, but I need to tell you a little about her anyway, because her name is Lupi Almarez. She's been there the entire time I've been there. And the poor woman comes to work probably about half the time sick. I've thought at times that you need to be hospitalized. She just keeps going. She keeps on trucking. And she's our only paraeducator at the school and also runs our ELAC program in the evening and volunteers to do that. Helps with all the EL material, and it's an amazing job what she does at the school, and something that a lot of credit has never been given to her for the fact that she's so quiet and just kind of goes under the radar, but an incredible lady that I'd be more than happy to give this to her tomorrow if she's at school. Yeah, okay. This is not a mistake. I gave this last year to the Mary Covalot PTCO, which is Parent Teacher Community Organization. They are kind of the pulse of our parent involvement at the school, and it's kind of amazing what they do year in and year out, and the funds that they're able to donate and help with our teachers, our students, and I can't say enough about it. In fact, three of the board members are here tonight, and I would love President Sammy Powell to come on up and receive this. Thank you. There you go, girl. You get to. And last but not least, I have an amazing teacher. I have a bunch of amazing teachers at our school, and I'm very proud of them. And you're right. You need to point at your mom, because she truly is. She started her student teaching at Mary Covalot and planned on just staying and going to another school. Well, she fell in love with the school, too. And she's never left. Amazing with curriculum. Right now, she's volunteering and helping with our new spirit team. And she came in kind of tearing her hairs out because the kids aren't learning the routines. But I know what she's capable of doing. Individually, I do our API for every classroom. She's been over 900 for the last two or three years. An amazing young lady, Dana Roper.
Done.
Board of Trustees, Executive Board, it's truly a privilege to be here tonight. I'm going to read pretty much because I had a good time writing this. It's a little on the lighter side, but also I think you get a really good view of what Kovalot is. Wrote about you guys too a little bit, so be careful, okay? What is an honor to address Executive Board and Board of Trustees. I have known many of you for a number of years. Mr. Fleury, I used to be your boss at Yuba Gardens. I also remember those days when we were told not to go out and help those people in the flood. And I'm still sorry about all the mud that I put in your car. Mr. Harris, first time I met you, you became our new PTA president at Mary Kovalot. It was a long time ago. You know, I remember your wife working there and spent a lot of years there. I remember the crazy summer of 1997 where you worked for me as a counselor and ended up being my counselor in the spare time trying to figure out how to make that homeless project run. Definitely appreciate all those 25 years of working with Donna, the Christmas party. It's been an amazing job what you've done for us, Glenn. Bernie, Mr. Rex, you taught my children. Thank you. You even allowed one of them to be on the varsity volleyball team. I wouldn't have let her, but you did. Thank you so much. Mr. Crawford, I wanted to leave you to almost a last, but you are not only a parent at Mary Kovalot, but you are also my psych council president.
3 years.
You bet, buddy. We made it. We didn't know what we were doing, but you know something? I appreciate what you did at Mary Kovalot. And I still remember Frankie jumping up and landing in that big mud puddle, you know. And
both my kids went there, but
so it was a fun time, you know. Mr. Boone, you didn't have any children go there, but we have a common, but you have a relative, Greg, that I had back in Little League in the 1970s. And I remember the first time I saw you, I walked up to you, and you were kind of like, wow, how would you know that? But to know that I have ties with your family for that long is kind of amazing. Ms. Markle, I can remember you and Colleen sneaking in and doing love and logic for me at the school. I appreciate those times that you volunteered for doing that. And, you know, Mr. Miller, I've heard about you for years, mainly from the same person, Colleen Weckman. Told me the things that that you did for the children at Alicia, and I appreciate what you did because it touched my heart. And Mrs. Todd, I want you to know that I was on that hiring committee back in 1992 when you applied for the principal at Mary Kovalot, and I want you to know I voted for you to be my principal. Okay. Mr. Carrion, years we spent being principals together. Had a good relationship. Thank you. Probably the only one that I don't have a background with, but we both live in the Sierras, Mark. Good place to live, buddy. Thank you. Going back to 1997, this board, some of you were already on it. You asked me what I was going to do. Probably the biggest thing, I didn't really know for sure what I was going to do, but I remember I replied and says, I want to take care of the needs of those children. That goal has never changed. In fact, that's the area that makes that school stand out. It's so important to me. You know, with the community funds, they continually come in and maintain our clothes closet, maintain that washer and dryer that you guys know that I would probably throw my body across them to keep them there. We have 4 or 5 employees that service the needs of these children. One of them spends her afternoon in that clothes closet taking care of kids, taking care of all the issues that's right there. She also runs our COST, our SS team, so she knows the needs of our children when we come to these meetings. So we automatically look to this employee to see what we need to do. We know our children and our families very well at school because we're constantly trying to take care of their needs. We not only have the five employees directly involved with our needy children, not counting teachers. I know without this constant caring for our students, we would start to slip academically. You make a child feel good about themselves, and you have a chance to have a successful student. Really, it's become a spiritual battle caring for the poor and needy. In fact, presently, one of our staff members volunteers their time to help our students. That's the heart of a servant. One may say it's not our duty to take care of the needs of the students, but try doing that and only serving their academic needs. It does not work. I really could spend hours talking about Mary Kovalot and want to take this opportunity just to thank you for allowing me to spend a quarter of my life as the principal of the only elementary school in downtown Marysville. It's been a pleasure beyond words. My family realized my dedication and my determination. My staff also understands that same dedication and determination. I model that whether I want to or not. The privilege to assist teachers, staff, parents, students, as well as our community is something I'll always treasure. And that gets me to the heart of my message. And remember in 2006, when we became a distinguished school, I finally called the Appeal Democrat and asked them why they had not done a story on the first distinguished school in Marysville proper. The reply was, write it yourself. I told them I would, and I began constructing this amazing letter on how great Mary Kovalot was when I became stumped and started really contemplating why we had become successful. Well, here's the gist of the story in one sentence. We teach children how to study. We teach children what grit is. We teach children that if they work hard, they're going to feel good about themselves. In other words, we teach morals and character to our students. Yes, teaching to the California State's content standards is high on the list, but if a child has no desire of good good study skills, it's a very difficult job. That brings me to all of you. We want you to become active at Mary Kovalot Elementary. I recently told Marysville City Council that we are a gem here in downtown Marysville. I know I believe that. I want all of you to be part of our successes. Who would think that a low-income, high-poverty school with 25% of its population, second language learners, has an academic performance index of 877? Yes, celebrate with us. Celebrate with me. This is an amazing time in the history of the school. Help us reach that impossible 900. It definitely seems impossible right now. But come to the school. Come and cheer the children on. Come and have lunch with them and tell them that they can do it. I know they can do it, but hearing from my boss, and that's you guys, would really be appreciated. I want to thank you for all you do for our school, and God bless all of you.
I'm sorry, but this is a time where the board gets to talk to you, too. You have to come back up. I read your summary of Kovalot, and I wanted to say to the audience, and I yellow-lined a couple things here. Mr. Eshman says, school spirit is enthusiasm by people who believe they can succeed without any excuses. I thought that's a great line, okay, and something that we should all follow. And I was a little puzzled when you quoted Russell Crowe here, too, but he said, anybody who's on the downside of advantage and relying purely on courage, it's still possible for them to make it. And I thought that was a really good line. And the last one, which I think summarizes your whole being as principal, that I've seen over the years, is please remember the safety needs of our children as well as the learning environment. So I want to thank you for the job that you've done. I've been there many times, you know, reading to the classes and, you know, Dr. Seuss and looking like an idiot. But
they love it.
It works. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Ash.
Any other questions or comments for Mr. Eshman? Mr. Eshman, thank you very much. You do a wonderful job. Like always, your school shines every year, and it's because of the dedication of you and your family that you've created there that, you know, has made it so successful, and we thank you for all your extra hard work that you do there.
Thank you, Mr. Ashman.
Thank you.
Can I sit down, Mr. Max?
Did he give you permission? All right, thank you, Mr. Ashman. Okay, we'll move on. On to the presentation from Scotia Sanchez on the Williams Act update. Dr. Sanchez.
Good evening, board members. Dr. Todd, thank you for allowing me to give my report. As you know, it's an annual report that is required by the state. We take a look at instructional materials and the facilities. I'm going to do the facilities report tonight, and Bobby Abold, our Director of Alternative Ed and Curriculum Instruction, will be doing the instructional materials. First of all, I want to thank your maintenance staff. Mr. Bilodeau has done an outstanding job with his maintenance and custodial folks behind him. The facilities are in very nice shape. I'm sure Mr. Algar gets a little of that as well, gets that credit as well. All of the schools were in, the report covers a variety of things. You have the reports in front of you, including electrical and gas and any chemicals, HVAC, sewer, the interior surfaces, overall cleanliness, hazardous materials, structural damage, roof, playground, or school grounds, windows, doors, fences, etc. All of the schools that we inspected, including Abraham Lincoln School, Cedar Lane, Ella, Linda, Lyndhurst High School, Yuba Feather, and Yuba Gardens, all of those were in good or better condition, with the exception of a couple of items at Lyndhurst, but Lyndhurst is much improved from last year, so congratulations on that. And I will turn it over to Bobby, and if you have any questions at the end, I'll be glad to address those.
Hello. I also would like to thank all of the staff at the various sites that I visited. All of the administrators and the teachers were very organized and well prepared for the visit. Being my second year going through the process, I also had a clear vision of how we could streamline it, get me in and out of the school sites with a minimal interruption of the instructional process. So I think that we did great teamwork on that. And all of the sites were sufficient with their instructional materials, and so it went very smoothly. So that's really all I have to report, unless you have any questions for me about instructional material sufficiency. Okay, thank you.
Any questions or comments from anybody?
No.
Dr. Sanchez, are you finished or do you have more?
I am finished. I just want to say that it's always a pleasure to come home to MJUSD.
Thank you so much. Comments from board members, Mr. Miller?
Excuse me. Yeah, I was out at Oliver School for their Halloween Ooky Spooky night, and I was surprised to see a lot of the parents and kids. I think it was the largest turnout they've had in quite a while, and it was really, really neat to see the parents and kids participate. And the teachers, they looked like they were having as much fun as the students and the parents did. So they did a great job.
Mr. Rex?
Normally this is where I say something like I visited this school or that school, and I'd like to say a few more things tonight than I would normally say. Okay, we've got some big problems in this country, you know, the fiscal cliff. If people think that Proposition 30 is going to save everything, there's no guarantee that we're going to see any of that money anytime soon. Even if it does come, it'll be next school year, I would think. So a lot of things are happening. I was listening to Tom Sullivan today, and he had a list of 4 pages of businesses that are leaving California after the election. Now, that's tough. That includes Campbell's Soups and, you know, other businesses that are really prominent. So we're going to have to be thinking about that. There's been a lot of talk, especially in the newspaper, about salaries. And, you know, that came up because, you know, in previous meetings, people said, well, you've got all these hidden things. Okay, let's put it on the above board. We'll just make it part of the salary. Here it is, right there. We're laying it out for you right now. And I think that's important, and we've tried to do that. But that was a request, and we could do that. Few people know that there's teachers in this school district making over $80,000. $88,000, and that doesn't include benefits. So there's a lot going on. And we've really cut back over the years. I've been on that budget committee all these years. And who's taken it on the nose? It's been the classified staff. It's been maintenance. It's been custodians and groundskeepers. And we haven't replaced those people. So it's one of those things that's just so hard to sit up here and make those decisions. And you know that you have to go by what the state tells you. And we love our employees. We have great employees. We have great teachers, you know, and I can speak for myself, who taught in this district for nearly 30 years. And if you look at the board, I think 5 of us are teachers, retired teachers. Okay, one of the other things I want you guys to, you know, I said to someone a couple of weeks ago, I said, if the election turns out the way it did, I said, the stock market is going to drop 300 points the next day. And it did. It dropped actually 400 points in 2 days. So a lot of things are happening. Businesses are lowering their hours, so they only give employees 28 hours so they don't have to pay the extra additional benefits. So there's a lot of things that are in the works. And it's going to all affect us. If Bernie Bernanke, our financial chief in Washington, prints another $800 billion in bailout money for people, the value of our dollar goes down. It means that when we get a dollar, it doesn't buy what we had before. It's less. So we're heading for some real interesting times. And I just want you to know that, you know, that this is my one chance to speak to you, that we're thinking about it all the time. So that concludes what I have to say.
Okay, Mr. Fleury.
I have nothing tonight.
Mr. Harris?
No comment.
Mr. Crawford?
Nothing.
Ms. Markle?
Well, this is my last meeting, as things stand with the election board, although the county isn't complete. It's close enough for me to know this is my last meeting. And I've been on the board for 20 years, and I've seen so many changes since 1991. When I went on the board, I had absolutely no expectation that I would ever make it this long. That was totally out of my realm, but it's been a lifetime. It's been my lifetime. And I have seen so many changes. I've seen 3 superintendents. Gay, you're the best. You are the best. You know how to make every single employee, parent, or student feel important. You know what it is to have teamwork. And we have been a team. And all the various, and you see all the pictures back there, I've worked with almost everybody there. And all of you guys. And I am extremely proud of that. I have learned so much from every single person. We have together made this district grow. The state's taken a lot away from us. I'm excited by the fact that Proposition 30 did win, because this could be a time that we could rebuild. And I too, Bernie, feel that classified's taken a major hit. And I hope that's one of the places that you all will be able to start filling positions again. There's so many places that we have to rebuild. But you know, that's an exciting time. And you think about a year ago, we didn't have those exciting times. I mean, all we saw was the doom of the whole thing. And you go to CSBA and they talk about how it's so long down the road that we'll see any changes. But you know what? Mr. Danable is extremely fortunate because he's coming on the board at a time that you are going to make some changes and you are going to be able to restore and rebuild. And I'm looking forward to reading about it, and I'm right there behind you. I may not be here, but I am there. And I just want to tell you that I've had a very good ride, and I'm very proud of my 20 years being on this board and everybody that I've been associated with, from principals, teachers, all our classified people. They make me feel like $1 million. And, you know, I really appreciate that because that's what we need. And I've been through this district at a time when my son was killed. I was elected to the board right after my husband died. And everybody that I've associated with has been very supportive. And I just wanted this night to be able to tell you that. So I thank you for a very good ride, and I'm very proud of being on this board and being able to say I was the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board Trustee for 20 years. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll move on to opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
I'm not going to read all of this to you. I'm sure you all have copies at home. My name is Inga Schlesler. I'm the Vice President of the Marysville Unified Teachers Association. And I have a presentation. Thank you. I'd like to talk to you guys tonight about the state of the association, our members, and really the staff, not just our members. It's been a long group of years with a lot of cuts, and I want to talk to you today about how things have progressed, how you've gotten information, and some things that I think maybe could be helpful if they were changed. Periodically, you have reports given to you by Mr. Allgaier, multi-year projections and budgets and interim, various interim, first interim, second interim, a very occasional third interim report. And what I've noticed is that there seems to be a lot of confusion during that time. The reports go for quite a while, and at the end, everybody is kind of sitting there with a blank stare on their face and no real thoughtful questions. I think that all that information is pretty confusing. One thing is really clear. You are to be afraid. We have a fear factor event happen all the time where deficit, deficit, deficit is screamed and everybody is, oh no, what should we do? And the result is always cut jobs, cut benefits, cut student support, cut hours, cut days, cut site funds, cut, cut, cut. not here in this building. Based on Mr. Allgaier's message of fear back in 2009-10, where the projections were that at the end of that year we would end with a ending balance of nearly $6 million, and the next year 2.3 and then 11.5 million. Our unit stepped up to take a pay cut. We didn't even have our attorneys, your attorneys, sitting at the table. Mr. Carrion called it a bold move, but we wanted to help. We stepped right up. We were tricked, and we feel betrayed now. Mr. Rex mentioned in recent newspaper articles in which, as a response to the numbers that our association has put out, Dr. Todd says that our numbers don't appear to be accurate and that Mr. Allgaier was researching those numbers. He wasn't available for comment. Mr. Crawford said that the teacher assertions that the school district sitting on $11 million is puzzling. So I'm here today to try to help you understand that.
Thank you for the picture.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm glad
you... Did you like that picture?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want your pictures in my slideshow, they shouldn't be on your website. actually, I had a lot of fun making this. So the puzzling numbers that were requiring research. This table shows the information that was shared with our unit and apparently got into the hands of Mr. McCarthy. Welcome back to the neighborhood, by the way, Mr. McCarthy. The numbers, the reason that we felt betrayed is that in 2009-10 we said, we'll take a pay cut, we'll help you guys out. And then come to find out that the year we took that pay cut, you didn't end with a negative $2.3 million, you ended with $11 million. You ended with $13 million more than expected. Imagine how that felt. And health costs were still going up. And also in that same newspaper article, Mr. Crawford talked about back in the old days when he was a teacher, and he says that he probably screamed that same kind of banter when he was on the other side. I'm not screaming banter. I've never felt like I'm on the other side. I'm just sharing facts, and I feel like we should be in this as a team.
I was a MUTA rep for 5 years. That was my reference to the screaming banter.
I understand that you were a MUTA rep, but I'm a MUTA rep. I'm the vice president of the MUTA Association right now, and I really don't feel like we're on opposite sides now.
I respect your position.
I really want this district to succeed, and I think that we all do. It's in our mission statement, partnership. So here's one of my sources for the inaccurate numbers. The first source, I have a scan of this page. Probably can't read at the very top, but what it says, the title of this is a 2009-10 second interim general fund multi-year projections, unrestricted and restricted. They were accepted by the board in 2009-10. And the other source of information, I think it would be helpful if I just went back one slide a second. This column here where it says actual ending balance, that comes from the unaudited actuals from each of those years, which have been accepted by the board and sent to the state. So that little red arrow at the bottom, that's indicating the line that says ending fund balance. Zooming into that and highlighted in yellow, the ending fund balance projections for the year in which the report was being given was 5.9 million. If you look at the bar graph, the 2009-10 year. Red is the projection, blue is the actual. By 11-12, the projection was that you would be at a negative 11.5 million, and you were actually at 11.3 million. You ended up with $22,799,296 more than you expected. If these numbers aren't accurate, you need to fix your system, because these are your numbers. These are the numbers you signed off on and sent to the state and said are accurate. I'm not screaming banter. I'm just sharing facts. I really didn't want you to feel disrespected by that first slide, except that I don't know how to get you to get the feeling of what we're actually feeling when we're at work. All of you, if you're getting health care coverage, which my last understanding is that Mr. Miller is not getting health care coverage through the district, but all of you pay nothing for your health care cost. Dr. Todd doesn't pay for her health care cost. You can't feel what it's like to be in our position. Today's the 13th of the month. I have nothing in my bank account. Sorry. Here are some things that have been said, reported in our district that add to that low morale that we are actually feeling. And I know that Mr. Crawford brought up in a newspaper article today about the former he who shall not be named. And you know, we don't have Voldemort for a superintendent, thank goodness. But just because we don't have Voldemort doesn't mean that things can't be made better. And making things better, whether it's making a better teacher or making a better superintendent or making a better board member, doesn't mean getting rid of, but improvements can always be made. So here are some of the things, and the next several thousand slides are about things that make us feel not so respected or that make our morale feel low. People have been told things like, it's not a personal necessity to be at the birth of your child. Obviously the male in that case. You aren't paid to prepare for independent studies, students. You can only get paid for the time you're with them. When we all took the 1.64% cut, the superintendent was given additional days off for leave. The day of the funeral is a personal necessity, but travel to the funeral is no-tell, of which you only get two. So if it takes 2 days to travel, there's your no-tells. You know the DO frowns on that? You want a job next year, right? Justify your need for pencils. Which standard does that address? You're not required to tell your personal reason, but I'm not required to authorize your leave. When the site runs out of sub-funds, love this one, you'll have to pay for your own substitutes. The site has no funds for supplies, so ask your parents for donations, but remember, it's a Williams Act violation if they donate necessary supplies. Over time, we've decreased the number of teachers working in this district by about 13%. Which means larger class sizes, which a lot of people say, oh, you know, back in the day, kindergarten, 40 kids in a class, you had a full-time aide, and you taught one letter a week, you played with Play-Doh, you had a little, you know, play kitchen. We don't do that anymore. We teach kids how to read and write. The quote here is from a kindergarten teacher in the district. She didn't actually let me give you her name, but it's not me. She says, at our school, which is not my school, we have 27 to 28 kindergartners in each class with a cap of 32. It's the same for our first graders. The teachers are exhausted, and they don't feel that they're actually teaching. Again, I'm not screaming banter. I'm just sharing facts. Oh, yeah, and nothing says we value your service like the annual reduction in force process. You might remember this particular Exhibit A. Particular kinds of service to be reduced or eliminated. 80.6 FTEs. That translated into 120 notices being sent out to people. This particular year, I didn't get one. The year before, I did, I believe. I don't know. They kind of all run together. But I did receive one year. And I was like the very top person, last person to get one. It still choked me and made me think, am I going to have a job next year? But that's not the only costly result. District staff, your attorney, CTA attorney, my free time has to be used so much to look at that seniority list and how have people moved and, oh, somebody got a master's and so now they're someplace else. And it's a huge mess to go through the seniority list when you're sending 120 notices. All 120 people noticed have a right to a hearing, and we encourage it because what if something messed up? What if they were like right on the edge, if they could have got a job back, but they're in the wrong spot on the seniority list? Involuntary transfers happen around that time. Rehires end up going to alternate sites, alternate assignments, maybe a grade level they've never taught, subject they've never taught. So that's not really that great for the students. And principals have just got to be going insane because they don't really know how many people are they going to get back. Are they going to get back the same people they had? Are they going to get somebody that knows what they're doing? It's a big mess that you don't see in here. You say, oh, well, you know, we'll vote for it. Yeah, vote. And so go ahead, send out those notices. And, you know, I'm sure they'll get their job back. Which mostly they do. But the amount of money that goes into and the time that goes into going through all that mess is crazy. And it's done out of fear. This is an old picture. I picked out that picture because she's a grandmother for one of my students. But she was working classified back in the day. And it just points out another use of that fear factor. Because when you get everybody really scared by putting out these particular kinds of services or PKS to be cut, it's like a feeding frenzy, and there's this tiny little piece of bread and everybody wants a piece. We're all going to die. And so it pits employee group against employee group. And when that happens, it's great for you guys because then we don't focus on you. I've heard board members who have put out false information about, I believe that was the year actually, when it was told, well, you know, if the teachers would just go to the table. Mr. Carrion had to send a certified letter to force them to go to the table. Totally not true. I was sitting here in the audience when a classified person got up and said that. And I said, we've been at the table already. But that kind of bickering happens when you make people afraid. The amount that the district has been spending on salary for our unit by year. You now spend this year, that goes to 12-13, $2.1 million less in salary than you did 5 years ago. You also spend less in health coverage because there are fewer people. And the district has proposed cutting last year's pay by 1.6%, this year by 5.5%, and next year by 5.5%. It's not really a strong sign of respect, and it doesn't make us feel good. Our morale is not that great. Here's a decision that the board can fix on its very own without having to do a study or anything else. It's not a huge amount of money. You voted February 7th to eliminate the prep time for independent study. This decision is not working so great. It's a disservice to the students and disrespectful to the teachers. I don't do independent study. I don't have time. But I did ask for input from independent study teachers, and just got one yesterday that I thought summed it up. It says, due to a lack of curriculum available in the independent studies program, teachers are left scrambling to find materials such as textbooks, student workbooks, math manipulatives, and teacher manuals to meet the diverse needs of their students. I personally have spent an additional 46 hours gathering necessary materials and preparing for my students. To tell them that they have to have that student in the room for an hour and give them real quality time because it's 1 hour in a week, but that they can't get paid to prepare for that hour, that they can't get paid for grading, for assessing how well are they doing. When the district gets 5 full days of ADA for that student who shows up for that 1 hour. And then there's those that don't show up, but the teacher has prepared. And normally people are taking these jobs because with the healthcare costs so high, they can't make ends meet. And they go and they do all this work, and then they don't get paid. Easy. Put this on the agenda and have it taken back. Okay, healthcare. The amount of money taken out of our checks for healthcare has increased from about 11% 4 years ago to 22% now. Right now, after all the deductions are taken out of a typical check, we bring home, our net is about 56% of the whole check. That didn't happen to board members, and it didn't happen to Dr. Todd. When the cost goes up, the district pays for it. This doesn't indicate a partnership that's sharing the pain. The district has not increased the contribution to teacher health since 1996. And there's probably been some opportunities where during bargaining, the association could have said, you know, if you're going to give us a raise, why don't you put it on health care? But who could have possibly predicted that our health care cost would go up by 400%? But in some cases, 200%, 100%, all depending on your plan. For the highest plan, it's gone up 106%, our share of the cost. But since 2009, it has gone up $6,300, and that's a pay increase to Dr. Todd and to you. The district contributes $20,000 a year to the superintendent's health and to the teachers, each teacher, $7,884. The message that we get in our low morale state is that the superintendent's health is 155% more valuable to the district than the health of its teachers. Then this happened at a quiet July board meeting. The minutes say that about 10 people were there. I was there. I don't think that there were quite 10, but okay. the board spiked the retirements of Dr. Todd, Mark Allgaier, and Mr. Carrion. This little thing down at the bottom, Board of Trustees, that's the item on the agenda. It says intended to be cost neutral. As we found out in the meeting, it wasn't actually totally cost neutral. But if you increase somebody's base salary, because you know, look over at the yellow side. That's from STRS. STRS says that under current law, benefits are paid to retiring members of the defined benefit program based on the age, service credit, and final compensation at retirement. Final compensation is based on the average annual full-time salary rate over 1 or 3 years, depending on the number of service years. So, $27,000, that's like an annual income for some people who could retire and get some amount, right? So, if you increase somebody's base salary, the part that goes into the calculation of their retirement will be bigger. It has been spiked. I appreciated that Mr. Fleury did ask, well, I talked to the lawyer and the lawyer says it's not. The lawyer gets a lot of hours from these people. I would ask somebody at STRS. The cost to the taxpayers, huge. And I always look at your board packets. And there's always, I mean, if somebody, everybody should know this, if you're resigning, retiring, leaving for whatever reason, and you put in your letter, that letter's in there. You can read everybody's letter. You can read, there's so much stuff in there. On this item, there was zip. I still don't know what the actual numbers were that went into that. And when I came to you and I said, well, if you do this, then the salary goes up by this much, and then the 8.25% that we have to pay towards STRS is going to be more. I had no idea it was that big of a number. $27,000 in perks? It just doesn't seem like we're on the same team here. And I don't see a benefit to our district. I see a benefit to those three people. So why you would do that so quickly when there was questions about it with no benefit to the district, I don't get. If you pay $165,000 for expertise, please expect clarity. That's how much you pay for Mr. Allgaier. Also, look at and understand financial trends, not just what he's put up in front of you. Not just his agenda. Look at the margins of error and the human impact. If Mark Allgaier was a robot who came up here and just gave you the facts, you would still need to take into consideration human impact of your decision. Dr. Todd and Mr. Crawford have accused me of providing inaccurate numbers. They aren't mine. They're yours. They're all right here. The page I copied from the 2009-2010 second interim report is in here. I can take this to any room you want to go into and show you everything and teach you how to read it.
I wasn't on the board in 2009-2010. I appreciate you including my picture, but I was teaching.
I didn't say that you voted on this.
You said I accused you of providing inaccurate numbers. When did I do that?
In the newspaper.
Oh.
The part about you don't know where I'm getting $11 million. It's right here. I have budget reports. I have in second interim, first interim, unaudited actuals, and really unaudited actuals, those are your best ones, okay? Because it's after the fact, you know what happened. So here's a slide that I showed to you February 28th. And it only went up through 10-11. Since then, I've gotten unaudited actuals for 11-12. I really want you to understand this slide. The blue is unrestricted funds. The whole bar as a whole, that's ending fund balance. But the blue is unrestricted. The dark blue, that's the designated for economic uncertainties, that 3% that you have to have. The light blue is simply unrestricted. The red is restricted. There's a whole lot more involved. It can be so much more complicated as far as, you know, some of the restricted, it's restricted for salaries. So there's a lot more involved also in the magical transfers that happen into different spots that you have to try to follow. So it gets complicated, but here's a basic picture that shows you a trend. These are your numbers. I don't make these up. I took them from Mr. Allgaier's reports. And unless he messed up, these are real. This is my last slide, promise. Basic message, morale is low, employees are angry, and it's your job to fix it. First, realize that the sky is not falling. Recognize the potential of Prop 30's passage. Look at what that says. The people of California, not of Yuba County, but the people of California value education and want money to go to education. At the same time, look at that. We have a supermajority of Democrats in the legislature. For everybody that thinks that they are tax and spend, throw money at schools, maybe they'll do that and you'll get a bunch of money here. I suggest that you encourage the superintendent to promote an atmosphere of respect and support for employees. I know I was here when Voldemort left, and we got Dr. Todd. And I love Dr. Todd. I think she's awesome, having experienced previous people. But I also feel like having a cabinet of three people is not the best idea. And it should, the power of that cabinet needs to be diluted. You need to have more people involved in the cabinet so that you have more perspective brought into it. Most of all, provide relief for the health cost crisis. It's a crisis. People are paying a... It's not just the pain. It's not just like, oh man, my cost went up. 5 years ago, bought a car. Thank God my last payment's going to be in January. When I bought that car, I based what I bought on, I can afford this. This is how much money I got. When my husband decided to retire, way too early, I might add, it was mental health, money, right? So we decided to go with mental health, but this is what we can afford. I had no idea that when we were making those very final decisions, that we were going to have so huge of an increase, so much of an increase to our health benefits, and that we would get no assistance from our employer. And so for some of us, it really is. It's killing us. Please, provide some relief for the healthcare crisis. I don't say crisis lightly. It's a crisis that I know you can't feel and Dr. Todd can't feel. You can think about it, you can imagine, but you can't feel it until you go to the store with your daughter who wants a pack of strawberries and you tell her, sorry, we can't afford it. Sorry, my daughter's in the room. Made me think of it. Don't approve needless PKS cuts. It wastes so much money. And if you're actually feeling like things are tight, paying money to a lawyer to go over that seniority list again is ridiculous. Mr. Carrion and I could figure it out. But how many more people can you cut? You actually had an increase in enrollment this year, I hear. I haven't actually seen the document on that, so I can't vouch for it. But that's what I hear. 420 teachers. Pay for the necessary prep work for independent study. Not that much. Half an hour. That's it.
Any questions or comments for Inga while she's still there? No. I would just like to invite all of you to stay for the last agenda item, which is going to talk about budget updates. It's an informational item. And each time that a budget item comes up on an agenda, attend the meeting. Normally, we have budget updates on a fairly regular basis. There might be five or six people in the audience. It would be nice if everybody got the same information and maybe you could learn some things about the budget, some of the ins and outs of it, and then as the state changes their budget all the time, Mr. Allgaier doesn't have a crystal ball. He can't figure out what the state's going to do from month to month, from year to year. So, you know, maybe they're will open everybody's eyes to what we're seeing all the time and when we come to our decisions. It's not decisions that we make lightly. But anyways, I would just like to invite you all to come to every meeting that has a budget item so that all of us could understand the budget together. We could ask questions together. Okay?
Mr. Boone, first of all, I'd just like to point out that tonight you're Mr. Harris, and Mr. Harris is Mr. Boone. You got your name switched.
Who did that?
I didn't do that. I wasn't up there. Also, in the interest of teachers being really busy with writing report cards and all that kind of wonderful stuff that's keeping us out late, and some of us had to do independent study, and I understand it's in your power, could you please move that item on the agenda so that we could hear it now?
Move that item where?
That last item on the agenda, could you please move it up so that we could hear it now? And then also, while you're working on that, I just did want to point out, at one point when I was here talking, Ms. Markle was concerned about asking questions and said that it would be a violation of the Brown Act or something like that. I would like to point out that this presentation is on the agenda. It is something that can be discussed and that you can ask questions at any time.
Yeah, she must have been referring to public comments, would be my guess.
No, it was me.
No, I was referring to, you had said at the time.
Why didn't you ask questions?
Why didn't I come to you at school or call you or something and ask questions? And I said, because I felt like
it would be a violation.
It would be a violation because at that time, it seemed like anything we did in interaction with people in the union we were being told it was violations, and we were being told by the people in the union.
Now,
so it was better to just keep it clean and listen to what you had to say here and go by that. We have so many rules and regulations that...
I understand the rules. I was,
you know, I mean,
was chair of the public.
There's mandates and everything else, and you have to keep it clean. So there's some topics, like when we went around to the different schools, remember, and asked for input concerning budget cuts, we had to be very careful that certain topics didn't come up because it was a violation and we didn't want to muddy the water.
And you know, Ms. Markle...
We have to be careful about that.
Ms. Markle, I got to say that you are one of the few board members that I did not hear complaints about in regard to that. You must have done a wonderful job. Going to school, going to staff meetings and saying, you guys are going to have a cut, mid-year cut, and you might as well hurry up and put a bunch of money in the bank. Or one of the board members coming and telling me, you know, you should just go for impasse and let somebody come in and tell you guys what to do. That you've never done.
No.
That would be a problem. Asking questions is not a problem.
Well, I just
and it's disappointing to me that when you said that night, that none of the staff helped you understand that that wasn't the case.
Well, I think I said it to you privately.
No, it was up there.
Was it? I do remember having a conversation in the audience.
Yeah, we did that too. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're going to finish this agenda item. And when we go to new business, which shouldn't be far off, because we've got some public comments also that we need to get through, then I'll move that agenda item to the beginning of new business. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, CSEA 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, public comments. Mr. Roper.
Brought a lot to talk about. Just kidding. Good evening. My name is Jason Roper. I am the program manager with Yuba County Probation Victim Services Unit, and I was here about a year ago to speak to you guys in regards to the Yellow Ribbon program. Just to refresh your memory, if you forgot, Yellow Ribbon is a suicide prevention program, and unfortunately, in our community, within the last 3 months, specifically North Marysville High School, we've had two young people commit suicide, a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old. And so I'm here again to, I guess, enlighten you a little bit about that. It is a reality in our community, and I'm happy to say that after a year and presentations to both Marysville and Lyndhurst High School, we will be holding assemblies the first and second week in December, December 5th at Marysville High School, and the following week at Lyndhurst. I don't know the exact date. We're trying to confirm that still. But unfortunately, with the reality of our young people committing suicide, it's kind of brought it back to the forefront and impressed upon each school that it is something that needs to be addressed and that we need to deal with. So tonight, I was here. I thought I'd take the opportunity to invite all of you to attend. Marysville High School will be December 5th. I would encourage you guys to come. We will be working with the staff once again to educate them about the program, as well as training the leadership programs at both schools, and they will actually be presenting to their student body as opposed to us adults. So once again, this will be a student-led effort. In the spirit of, you know, these economic times, I think it's important to note that we can all come together. Yuba County does care about kids, as opposed to what was mentioned just a minute ago. We do care about education here in Yuba County. The people of Yuba County care. As a governmental, I guess, representative, we do care. It's disheartening to hear an educator stand before you and say that that Yuba County does not care. We do. We are providing this service to the school district and to the residents of Yuba County, whether they're youth or adults, at no cost to all of you. All we're asking for is your buy-in or your support. Sorry. So, we will be here December 5th. Every material, everything that this school needs, that each of the schools need, will be provided free of charge. To underscore the necessity for this program, my office received 8 referrals last week from Yuba Gardens, one school, for young people that are cutting themselves or have a extreme risk for suicide, and we're providing services to them. Once again, at no cost to the district. So we do value education here in this community. We recognize the social and emotional impact that young people, the social and emotional necessities that young people have that drive their education and encourage them or facilitate their success in school. And I would invite all of you that are out here tonight, that are here, to please come forward, or please come to these assemblies. We will be bringing them to hopefully the middle school as well within this school year, if not in the spring, the fall of next year, to all the middle schools here in Yuba County. And thank you guys very much.
Do you know what time?
I don't. We're actually working on that. We have to work out the actual presentation because we're going to do them in small groups. So we're going to they're going to be presenting to the students will be presenting the program themselves. So over the next 3 weeks, we will be training the student body at Marysville Lyndhurst to actually go out and provide these trainings to their peers. But I will come back and let you guys know as well.
Or you could send me an email, and I will be happy to put it in the Friday packet for the board so they can mark their calendars.
I can do that, but then I can't come talk to you guys.
Well, come on back.
No, but I will send Gandy an email. Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Roper. Jay Zuko.
Hello. My name is Jay Zuko. I volunteer at Johnson Park Elementary School. Some of you know me. I actually kind of just wanted to say that I've been there for some time, and I feel that there's a huge problem going on. I mean, I talked to Gay Todd just the other day. We spoke on the phone, and she assured me that the discussions with the union have been productive, which is not what I just heard. And that there was the sun on the horizon, so there was some sort of positive forecast. And I don't want to do anything that's going to undo the work that you have or have not been doing. But I will say that, again, I care about the teachers. Before that, the students. And I actually went around and I spoke to some people after the newspaper article that came out, which kind of was a result of some information that I got and then I took to the paper to hope that they could research it further and help me out. When I spoke to Gay Todd, she had told me, next time, contact me and let's talk. Let's try to figure things out before you just... You know, I think she felt that I was going for a lynch mob, I believe was the description you said. Don't come in with a lynch mob. Perhaps she remembers me fondly. I don't know. Anyway, actually what I was concerned about was this disagreement back and forth with the union. And although I'm not pro-union, and I'm not necessarily, I don't know any member of the board or a superintendent or assistant superintendent well enough to make past judgment. I have been researching, but there's a lot of information out there. And I know that there's usually only 3 minutes for this, so I would like to say that I also brought 114 of my friends. So if you'd like to take a look at it, it basically is a reaction to the newspaper article and also some of the information that's out there. And these people feel the same as I do. They want it resolved. There's more important things, you know, and to say that you've been working on it and it's been productive discussions and you haven't got a contract for even 2010, the way I understand it, that's a long time to not work something out. And, I mean, if somebody was paying me to do a job, and it seemed all you had to do was put everybody in a room and come up with a solution. Now, if the parents, the taxpayers, if they don't matter, these are just, I only went, this is only a couple blocks. I didn't even go very far. and some other friends helped me out. But I mean, I have a bad knee. I can't go very far. I'm not a very smart guy. I don't have the educations that a lot of the people in this room have. But I do know the difference between right and wrong. And I know that if we've got excess of certain things, and I understand that some things, the money's earmarked for certain things, and you have to buy them and maybe store them, and so you end up with piles of excess of stuff that's not going to be used for years. Maybe when you get to it, it'll be outdated. And nobody can say that you don't have some stockpiling going on. I've seen it myself. And, I mean, somehow we need to change it to where the money makes it to the students, and it makes it and it helps the teachers. These teachers do a wonderful job. The teachers that I'm around at Johnson Park, I can't speak for everyone, but the majority of them, they're there way after, and they're only paid, you know, to a certain time. I see them at all. I mean, they're always somebody there, and they're always working, and they're always out there doing their best. But it has to be frustrating to go in and say, hey, I want you to educate these kids, but with much less than what you started with last year. It doesn't matter that you can't take your kid to the doctor, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. None of that's a concern. And I think maybe when you're making $169,000 a year or something, maybe you get a little detached from that. You know, I make zero. I'm hurt. I don't get disability. My wife takes care of me. And I need a lot of help with a lot of things. But I volunteer as part of my physical therapy, and that's how it started. And I just fell in love with the kids and the teachers and the school. But I can say it's a disappointing process. It's sad to see these kids, some of them need help, and they're not getting it. It's just not available. It's not there. The dollars aren't there. And I care. These signatures, we care. I mean, this is real simple. It's if you can't resolve it, hire somebody else to do the numbers. Have somebody else figure it out. If you can't get along, have somebody else mediate it. You know, we would be willing as taxpayers, and I could get more signatures. Like I say, that was just a few hours. People are fed up. They want a great education for their kids. They want their teachers to be happy. And they are, I mean, for the most part, but you can help them. You can make a difference. You know, I'm sure that when you were teachers, you felt the same, you had the same concerns. Are you really that far apart? And the fact that you were in union, I mean, I don't know how it works when you switch over and you're union and then you're not union, but I'm pretty sure you still have the union pension. You know, when you sit back, I mean, I know when I was in the local 185, you know, I still, when I retire, I will still have benefits from the 185, but I got out of there because basically my shop steward led me astray. The people at the top were happy. Everybody started going lunch together and having drinks, and nothing got resolved. The workers still ended up back where they started. So, you know, all I'm saying, I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I'm just saying that in a lot of cases, you call up as a parent, and, you know, I hope you got your phone fixed, Mr. Fleury, and maybe that's back up and running. I know I called you and we had to get together on another phone call, but you did email, you responded to me, and I appreciate that. And I don't even know what to say to Mark Allgaier. Other than numbers and, you know, I've got other issues. It's for another time. There's just not enough time. But I will be back. Because I have other construction issues, and I have issues with safety, math, and some other things. And I also, just I'll end this on a personal note. I'm pleading with you. If you need more signatures, I'll get it. If we need something to happen with our governor, let us be the beginning. We can put together enough signatures to get his attention to make them do what they need to do to simplify whatever you think is holding it up, to make those dollars maybe be so they're not earmarked, but they can go where they're actually needed. They don't need to run the school. We need people that are qualified to do that. And I'm sure you could if they would just loosen the reins and make it easier to do your job. There's too much of that going on. So, I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I want my daughter to have it better than I do. You know, the GATE program's out. She was qualified for that. She's a very gifted young lady. She's very smart, very respectful. A lot of her friends are in the same boat, and that's due to great teachers. So let's help them. you know, let's do what we can. And if there's something that I can do, don't hesitate to ask. And I'll do what I can. I'll call my friends, you know, I'll talk to my neighbors. And you can't get everybody to get on the same boat sometimes, but I know one thing, not doing anything from 2010, and I'm going to say that because if you look at the end result, no contract, there's nothing to brag on. There's nothing to brag on. I wouldn't be proud of that. If I when I was working construction, if I sat down and we had to work out a contract and I didn't work it out for 3 years, I don't think I'd be having a job. And then just I would like to end on a personal note, and I would like to say that I came here once before, and my daughter and her little friend, I wanted them to come in and see how the process worked and to be part of it, and I still don't understand all of it. And I believe that she was worried about a tree being taken out of Johnson Park Elementary School. And immediately, I think Mark shot him down and said, well, it's already in motion. That is probably could have been said a different way, and that's the separation and the difference. When I spoke to you on the phone, I got the feeling that you were above everyone. You gave me the impression that I was being bullied, and you went to some crazy numbers of $75,000 for a shade structure, which was just ridiculous. But I understand you're exaggerating your point, but it didn't make me feel like that I could come and talk to you and work something out.
These are public comments. It's not time to attack employees, and you're 10 minutes
that was
right
my
now.
That was my ending note.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Connor Oliver, and may I please, can we keep it to 3 minutes, guys? We'll be here all night if everybody goes 10 or 12 minutes. Thank you.
Well, many of you know me, and like Mr. Eshman here, I have a personal relationship with many of you, and I'm here tonight. I've been to see Mr. Allgaier's presentation before, and there's lots of things on my mind. I've worked for Marysville Joint for 25 years, very proud to say that. This is my family, and I do always feel like a team member with each and every one of you. However, lately, some things have been going on that really distress me. I have to believe the actual audits that go to the state, which say there's $11 million extra in the budget. I also agree with Ms. Markle that the classifieds have had it bad. When we voted to cut down the classified positions half-time so we didn't have to pay their medical benefits, that's the only reason I can figure out we did it, I felt like I was working for a major corporation that didn't care about people. I felt like it was a Walmart move. It was the first time I really wasn't proud of this district. I've been here with Mr. Liebman was here. My morale actually was better then because I knew he was a slimy dog. And I knew he was going to hide things. You guys, I trust. And I still do. And I know you have a hard job, and my hat goes off to you, and I thank you all for your time and efforts. And you are safeguarding the district. But a little bit of safeguarding is a little too much. $11 million seems like a lot. And then when you cut away the classified positions, and you still got $11 million somewhere, when you cut away adult education, I mean, hello, you guys are all teachers. How can you do that to the adult community? They're just as uneducated as ever, even more so. They need adult education. Another reason I wasn't too proud. But then I talk around and I see many of you board members at various sites, and I appreciate that very much, and I chat with you. And I heard that a board member agreed that there was a big chunk of change, about $11 million, but it was investments and earning interest. I don't know if that's true or not. I would shudder to think that it was, because I would hope to think that this district invest in its people, invest in its classified, invest in its employees, and doesn't play any money games where they're investing the money that we have extra in some hedge fund or who knows what. I almost think it's unethical if the money is coming from the state for the kids, for the education, and it sits in a bank in Beverly Hills or wherever, and not doing anybody any good, not doing the students any good, not doing the teachers any good. Mr. Crawford, morale does suck. I can guarantee you that. I'm out at the sites. I talk to the people. The way you painted in the picture, it's not really apparent to you maybe, But everybody else is hurting, and we're all smiling because we still got a job, thank the Lord. And so we are all not bucking it. We feel bad almost that we have a job and so many of our peers or friends in the community are uneducated. But it still doesn't mean that we don't feel the crunch. And Mr. Rex, to say that some people in this district make $88,000, it's just downright insulting. If anybody in this district makes $88,000, they put in the time, they put in the continuing education credits, and they deserve every penny of it. So my big question to you guys is to really look at it again and try and get to, I mean, we can only trust the people we hire and the professionals to do the best job. And I got no beef with Mr. Allgaier. I've even told him on the side, thanks for making sure there was the money there to keep me in a job. Because it wasn't that way for many school districts in the state. But then again, $11 million seems like a little excessive. And I would rather see it if that money is invested somewhere to be reinvested back in the employees to give us some help with our health care. I mean, you've obviously reinvested it in Mr. Carrion, Mrs. Todd, and Mr. Allgaier. And I'm not saying they don't deserve it. But the same, I'd like to get some service credit somehow or another mysteriously added to my package so my benefits would look better when I retire. And again, Gay, you know I love you. And I respect all you guys. I got no beefs in that respect. But if it is true and we do have that money invested, we should all hang our heads somewhere because we're people. People first, we're educators. And damn it, if it means that we're on tight ends, but we're still educating everybody we can possibly educate with as much supplies as possible, then we should do that instead of sitting on the bank somewhere and playing really conservative just so it's there. I mean, times are going to change. Around the globe, it's got to change. But without education, we're all shooting ourselves in our foot. Thank you very much.
Connor, thank you very much. Next is Jim Carpenter. You know, we can't ask questions for public comments other than questions of clarification. So should we clarify right now what Mr. Oliver's question was? With a simple yes or no. We'll take care of it later.
Short answer is yes, the money is in the county treasury.
Okay. Mr. Carpenter.
I'm coming tonight in response to today's newspaper, and I'd like to address you all as a board because when one member makes a comment, it reflects on the board and the community gets the impression that this is the board's sentiment. And I completely agree that we are not the same district that we were under our previous superintendent, and I don't want to go back to those days. However, yes, we do have a morale problem. And maybe one of the reasons that it's hard to feel it is, like me, this is my 20th year teaching, and I have never received a layoff notice. And I know five of you are former educators, and my guess is probably none of you have ever received a layoff notice.
No, I've
but
every day.
You have.
72 or 3.
Well, then yes. But still, I have been through the process as a site representative of being one of the liaisons with members at my site who have gone through layoff. And I can tell you it is devastating. And I've known this past year teachers at my school from a first-year teacher who assumed that as a first-year teacher, she hadn't a prayer to be rehired, to to one who I've known for 5 years, who taught before that and has received a layoff notice every single year. Which means that for all of those years, he had to go home during the summer not knowing what was going to happen to his family's financial security in the coming months. And as much as I understand that there are financial reasons that you do what you do, you have to understand that it is devastating for anybody who has received one of those layoff notices, and it has a huge impact on their morale. 120 layoff notices last year, that's more than a quarter of the teachers in this district. And that doesn't even take into consideration all of the classified and all that they've gone through. As a special ed teacher, I have an assistant in my classroom, and she's gone through a lot of the ups and downs that have gone with that. And it has a huge impact on morale. And I want to stick to that one point because I think we've said an awful lot here tonight. But I do want you to please be aware that even with the best of intentions, and I sincerely believe that everybody in this room comes with the best of intentions and we all want the best for our kids, that our actions have consequences, and one of the consequences of many of the actions that we've gone through in the last few years has been a big decline in the morale of the people who are employed by this district. Thank you for your time.
Okay, Molly McKay. Or McKee, I'm sorry. McKay, I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Molly McKay. I teach at Kynock Elementary School, and I also work with independent study kids over here at Marysville North. And I know you've seen me up here before talking about independent study, but I just want to quickly reiterate. Last year, I know you voted to cut the prep time for independent study students, and despite feeling deeply disrespected when that happened, I'm still working with a few students this year, and I have been trying very hard to do everything that needs to be done for those students within the hour that I'm being paid for working with them. All the gathering of materials, copying, assigning work, collecting and organizing work samples, testing, grading, and completing all the accountability paperwork. It can't be done. So if I can't do it, that means I have to work outside the time that I'm paid to work with these kids. In fact, honestly, the half hour that we were getting paid was never enough when we were getting paid prep time. We all spent more time than that. And it's traditional, I know, for teachers to put in extra hours, and we do it happily. But it gets, you know, on your nerves after a while when you start feeling like you're being kicked around. So I will say that more teachers than ever are lining up to teach independent study. And that's despite the fact that the prep time has been cut. Why? As Inga has pointed out, teachers in this district have been taking pay cuts. Pay cuts because of the cost of insurance. And their house payments have not gone down. So that is a huge reason for the morale problems that we're having now. People are working more hours for less pay and not able to make ends meet. It's a rough place to be.
Yeah, Mr. Zucco, we're 3 minutes per speaker, okay? We've already had you for 10 minutes. Pardon?
Can I just do it? It's a different comment. I can't have 3 minutes on this?
It's 3 minutes per speaker.
Okay. And all those people I brought with me, none of those count? I'll speak for one of them.
3 minutes per speaker. Okay.
Can I just say one comment? Are you
quickly,
all right with that?
Quickly.
Thank
15
you.
15 seconds.
Thanks. Frank Crawford, is he asking to be paid for a meeting he wasn't at? Is that what this is saying? Or just clarification?
Stick around for the meeting, and that's a resolution.
Yeah.
Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
I think in the essence of time, I'll pass this evening.
Okay, we'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of October 23rd, 2012. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. All those in favor?
Aye.
5 yes, abstentions. I'll abstain. Mr. Crawford abstains. We were not here. Consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled on the consent? If not, is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
No, on the consent agenda? Okay, 7 yes. New business. There's no old business, so we'll move on to new business. And we'll move the presentation of information related to the status of Proposition 30 and 38 and the 2012-13 District General Fund Budget. This is an informational item only.
Good evening. Actually, I need to point out that I gave the board another copy of the PowerPoint presentation from the March 13th, 2012 meeting. And since it was presented to the board under the Brown Act, we have to provide copies, so there are copies over there on the table by the door. This PowerPoint was actually excerpts from probably 4 or 5 board meetings before the March 13, 2012 meeting. And as I recall, we spent about 45 minutes at that March meeting going over this PowerPoint. And one of the primary reasons of doing that this evening was to talk about the status of the fund balance. So again, this is not on the agenda this evening. I wasn't planning on talking about it. I just wanted to point out that copies were given to the board members. Additional copies are on the table. I do have a much shorter PowerPoint this evening. Oh. Yeah, I'll try not to take that personally. So, regardless of how you may have voted, I think we're all thankful Prop 30 passed. As you've heard me say for many, many months, our budget is stable if Prop 30 passes. Our adopted budget was based on the assumption that Prop 30 would pass. Fortunately, it did. As you've heard me say many times, if Prop 30 had failed under current law, we were looking at additional multi-million dollar loss of state revenue, somewhere between $4 and $4.5 million, and we would ultimately have to make additional cuts. With the passage of Prop 30, that specter, I guess, if you will, does not exist under current law. However, also under current law, we're not going to get any more money this year. These are, again, excerpts from a couple of prior meetings. So I note the original meeting there on the lower left-hand side. And also, many of these slides are courtesy of School Services of California. I don't make them up, so I give them credit. We did add the arrows to this presentation that wasn't there the last time you saw these slides. So, as usual, I don't read the slide to the board. That seems silly. But if we could look at just the items with the arrows. The current year represented the 5th year of the deepest cuts ever made to public education in California. However, the cuts basically mirror the loss of revenue. And the relief offered by the state is partial and temporary. Compared with 07-08 and beginning in 08-09, general fund revenues for the state of California have been down about 15%. The cuts to education, starting in 08-09, have been about 15% and are maintained through this day. Now, you've seen lots of slides from me on what that means in terms of multi-millions of dollars. Excuse me. However, as you can see, the percentage is about 15%. And again, these are school services slides. The state deficit continues to grow, so likely the situation will improve in 12-13 or 13-14. If you recall from earlier discussions, even if Prop 30 passes, which it did, the state still faces a multi-billion dollar deficit. We won't know really what Governor Brown intends to do about that until he issues his January budget proposal for 13-14. We may hear rumors, but we're unlikely to really get any definitive information until the governor announces his proposals in January. Even if the temporary taxes pass, Prop 30, education funding will not increase in 12-13. Claims that education funding are going up are simply untrue. Now, you've seen this slide many times. If you look in the lower right-hand side, the loss due to the mid-year cut, you can forget about that. That would have been true if Prop 30 had failed. So we should, and again, these are all average unified districts, but our district is very close to the average unified information for the state. So we'll be at about the 5,245 mark, not at the 4,804, again, because Prop 30 passed. But that's what we've already counted on in our budget, is that Prop 30 passed. The loss of baseline dollars represent actual cuts over the past five or so years. And the loss of COLA is simply that, simply COLAs that we have not received, that under law we should have received. 12-13, Prop 98 funding increases by $6.7 billion, yet schools get nothing. Contrary to the advertising you heard for the passage of Prop 30, this is in fact the case. And there are some brief bullet points, you can read them for yourself, as to where all that Prop 98 money goes. And does the end result is that we are not anticipating any additional money in 12-13. Again, you've seen this before, the 12-13 trigger cut. Again, you can ignore that. That was if Prop 30 failed. So our revenue limit deficit will remain at 22.272%. It would have increased about 6% if Prop 30 had failed. This is, again, a school services slide based on an average unified school district. And the average district will receive, actually, additional funding of 21 cents per student, which for our district will add up to about $2,000. Again, there were two initiatives on the ballot. I'm sure you're all aware of that. The governor's initiative, flat funding for schools, Prop 30, and the Munger initiative, Prop 38, which failed. What follows Prop 98? Really, Prop 98 no longer serves its purpose. It really does not provide any type of guaranteed funding for K-12 education or community colleges. Essentially, it has been manipulated away, and as school services says, it basically now provides whatever the legislature is willing to give us. Now, this is one of my slides. This is actually last year, 11-12. So these are end-of-the-year numbers. This was presented to the board in September when we did the prior year actual presentation. And here's the infamous fund balance. Revolving cash in stores you cannot spend. Stores are simply warehouse inventory, transportation inventory of parts, those kind of things. Restricted balances are by definition, and here's the slide that shows you what makes up the restricted balances. There's, as you can see, there's seven or eight of them. You're looking at the right-hand column, 11, 12. The biggest one is lottery instructional materials. I'm sorry, the biggest is actually EIA, followed by lottery instructional materials. These are essentially carryovers in these restricted programs. Monies can only be spent in accordance with those restricted purposes. I was just about to do that. The reserve for economic uncertainties, that's the 3% that essentially is a state requirement. It's the unassigned, unappropriated, or undesignated, the $5.9 million. And you've heard me say this many times, that's what supports deficit spending. You can spend it once. You can spend it over a number of years, once. If you deficit spend, it's really simple math. If you deficit spend $1 million a year, you can do it for 6 years. And then in the seventh year, you have to cut $1 million. You would still have your 3%. If you deficit spent $100,000 a year, that $6 million lasts a long time. So it's just it's a function of the level of deficit spending compared to the unassigned, unappropriated, undesignated, whatever term you'd like to use. Balance, and that fluctuates from year to year based on the end result for the preceding fiscal year. So even though you hear a lot of discussion about the $11 million fund balance, that's true, but it's the $5.9 million, again, that supports deficit spending. Now, last year, you've heard me use this term repeatedly. I said the budget was stable. I said it again this evening. The budget was stable as long as Prop 30 passed, which it did. I'm still saying that. 11-12, if you go back to that slide, the unrestricted budget was about $56 million out of our just under $81 million total budget. And we deficit spent $151,000. That's essentially, out of $56 million, that's essentially break-even. Yes, it is a deficit, but it's certainly not significant. As you already heard me say, with a $6 million undesignated balance, you can deficit spend $151,000 a year for a long time. The restricted balance has actually increased, and at that meeting I gave the board a slide on why that happened. This always, I think, is a source of confusion for many people, unrestricted budget savings. And, you know, in a budget, of course, of multi-millions of dollars with thousands of account lines, you've heard this bill before, there's inevitably, you know, there's $1,000 here and $5,000 there. And we estimate PG&E bills at one number and we come in $10,000 below that. And so we have unrestricted budget savings. Our two-year average has been, as you can see, about $443,000. Our six-year average has been higher, about $715,000. And when we estimate our multi-year projections, we are currently assuming $500,000 a year of miscellaneous budget savings. So when you see the $151,113, at third interim, we were still estimating about $600,000 when we closed the books. Then all those miscellaneous savings are recognized, and instead of the negative $621,000, we came in at negative $151,000, which is an improvement of about $470,000. And the board also gets a couple of additional handouts that detail where that $470,000 was generated. Now, our current adopted budget, again, not to beat the dead horse, but assuming Prop 30 passed, we have deficit spending of $372,000 in our adopted budget. The first interim is due to the board on December 11th. By law, it has to be given to the board prior to December 15th, with updated budget numbers and actuals as of October 31st. And, of course, it says to be determined because we're not done with it. I'm going to speculate a little bit at this point that $372,000 negative number will be improved upon. we may actually be a little bit positive. But I don't know what that is yet. So, questions from the board? And then I will sit down.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Allgaier.
Thank you. If I may clarify, Connor, all the comments are supposed to go to the board. Then they can look at me if they want to.
No, I wasn't confused. Mr. Algarza, would you like to answer the question? And he came back and thought what he was going to happen at the first interim with the $372,000, I think was the number of the
correct
deficit spending out of the original budget. But anyways, he had talked about some budget savings and other things that were built into the budget. Go ahead, Mr. Algarza.
Yeah, the whole point is budgets are projections. That's what they are. We don't know for sure what's happened until the books are closed for the prior year, which doesn't happen until the end of August, typically, for a fiscal year ending June 30th. Until then, all budgets are projections. That's by definition what they are. Now, okay, look at a very simple analogy. The $5.9 million is in a savings account. Just look at the general fund, simplest analogy possible. Look at the general fund as your checking account. The $5.9 million is in a savings account. If you deficit spend, you have to draw some of that savings account out. If you're positive, you can put that in your savings account. Yes. Board members have heard me say this before. In a perfect world, school districts wouldn't have fund balances. We'd get all the money we were supposed to get, we'd spend exactly that much, and we'd have nothing left over. Then the start of the next year, we would have nothing to start with. We'd get exactly what we were supposed to get, and we'd spend every penny of it. That's not the way the world works.
Yeah, and had Proposition 30 not passed, the financial burden on our district would have been around $4 to $4.5 million.
$4 to $4.5 million based on current law. And I always throw that in because we all know the legislature likes to change things. So based on current law, with the failure of 30, we would have lost between $4 and $4.5 million retroactive to July 1st.
And where would that money have come from?
Well, we could only have sustained that for 2 years, this year and next year.
Right.
So we would have had to make more cuts.
It came out of the general fund.
Yeah, we would have, ultimately we would have had to cut more.
The 5.6 fund balance or whatever, it's, I don't remember the exact number.
Yeah, I mean, and if you include the 3%, we would have survived this year and next year, and we would have been belly up. But thank goodness that didn't happen. Prop 30 did pass.
Yeah, but Mike, it's tough because we don't know exactly what's going to happen. It passed by a narrow margin. Yeah, either.
And the money goes into general fund.
Yeah, Inga, go ahead.
But the offer from the district to cut our
thanks for the comment.
No, it was based on Prop 30 failing. It was based on Prop 30 failing. You want?
Okay, Mr. Zucco, you have a question?
That's a big question. Let me back up to
Mr.
Yes.
Algeier, would it be easier if he, because you start getting into the whole convoluted mess of the budget and the way the state works, would it be easier for him to come in and meet you?
That's fine.
Because you're talking about a fairly sophisticated question that, I mean, there's a lot of answers to that.
And I'd be happy to do that. Mr. Zucco and I don't see eye to eye at some issues at Johnson Park, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about them again, or I'd be happy to try and explain some of these budget concepts. Mr. Boom, if I may, let me answer one part. There are, as you've heard me talk about many times, there are a series of restricted, they're restricted resources. A good example would be, you know, again, lottery instructional materials. You can only spend that on instructional materials. If you don't spend all your lottery instructional material money, you simply carry it over, but it's still restricted for that same purpose. Revenue limit dollars, which is based on attendance, those are the unrestricted dollars, primarily, along with some other funding. Those can essentially be spent as the district board so deems. However, you can also carry those over. You don't lose them if they're not spent by a certain date. There are many categorical programs where you do lose the money if you don't make the expenditures by certain due dates. And they're restricted for certain purposes.
Yes, next question, please.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Don. Any other questions? We'll move on to the next item. Okay, we're going to move on to annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. The recommendation is to set that meeting for our December 11th meeting. Is there any problems with setting that organizational meeting for December 11th? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, resolution 2012-13-17, excuse board members' attendance at meeting of the Board of Trustees. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Rex, seconded by Ms. Markle. All those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes, abstentions 1, all abstain. Resolution 2012-13-18, excuse board members' attendance at meeting at the Board of Trustees. Is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion second. By Ms. Markle, seconded by Mr. Rex. All those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes, abstentions. 1 Mr. Crawford abstains. Okay, resolution 2012-13, amendments to the 2012-13 Child Development Program contracts. Dr. Todd?
This is a request to ask the board to approve this resolution, which would amend the following contracts that are listed from the State Department of Education. And you can see those listed there specifically. The amended amount for the California State Preschool Program is $1,488,015. And the second one is for the General Child Care and Development Programs in the amount of $159,331. And my recommendation would be that the board approve those increases.
One question on this. This doesn't come out of any of our funds, right? This is
specific to the child care
that's what I thought.
Program. So child development program.
What is one state and is the other one federal? I think those are federal funds, I think, in the second one.
Could very well be. Mrs. Woods is not here, too. It's not...
We've already
moved beyond that. We're on the child development one. You didn't hear the vote?
The motion was approved.
The motion was approved? Yes. It's kind of out of order, so sorry.
Okay, Dr. Todd, were you finished with your...
Yes, I was, on the child care.
Okay, any other questions on the child care development program contracts? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Personnel Services, number 1, this is update uniform complaint procedures and policies. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you and good evening. The just in a nutshell, we are complying with state and federal mandates that, as outlined here, require a modification to our uniform complaint procedures to include bullying, which, as you've heard time and again, is the big buzzword in our environment, educational, employment, and elsewhere. And so in ensuring that we meet FPM and CDE requirements, federal program monitoring at the federal level, and of course CDE at the state level, then we will be in compliance and ensure that all the stakeholders have received the updated language. So we recommend that you pass this resolution. Excuse me, this agenda item.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kieran. Any questions?
I read through the pages there. This is pretty complete. Did we have a California guideline on this or something? Because it's
It's part of the recommended verbiage from CDE, and it's pretty onerous, but ultimately, again, the necessity to include the intimidation and the bullying tactics that are in our environment. And so ultimately, any program that receives federal dollars must comply under these requirements.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
Move for approval.
Okay, motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Crawford. And all those in favor? 7 yes. Business Services, number 1. This is resolution 2012-13-20, decreasing fees on development projects pursuant to Government Code Section 65995, Level 2. We're going to hold a public hearing, and we'll open that hearing now. Mr. Algar, do you have comments?
After the public hearing would be fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anybody here for that hearing? I need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Motion by Mr. Harris to close the hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Now I need a motion to approve the analysis.
Thank you. For the record, we also received no written comments. We can receive written or verbal comments. There were no written comments. This is a required update to our Level 2 fee study. The new fee takes effect tomorrow, assuming board approval, and it actually goes down from $441 a square foot to $424 a square foot. And I do need two actions, one to approve the study or the analysis, and one to approve the board resolution. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the analysis?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Now we need a motion to approve the resolution. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. We already went through the informational item, so that is the last item on the agenda, so the meeting's adjourned.